Welcome to day 177 of my Everyday Bible with Rita Langland. Today we are reading from the Amplified Bible and we will cover 1 Kings chapter 16 and 2 Chronicles chapter 17. And as we listen to today's reading, you will be introduced to one of the most notorious kings that Israel ever produced, whose name was King Ahab. Also, you will hear about one of the best kings that Judah ever produced, which is King Jehoshaphat. So we will begin at 1 Kings chapter 16, starting at verse 1. And the word of the Lord came to Jehu, son of Hanani, against Baasha, saying, Because I exalted you, Baasha, out of the dust, and made you leader over my people Israel, and you have walked in the way of Jeroboam, and have made my people Israel sin, to provoke me to anger with their sins. Behold, I will utterly sweep away Baasha and his house, and will make your house like that of Jeroboam, son of Nebat. Any of Baasha's family who dies in the city, the dogs shall eat, and any who dies in the field, the birds of the heavens shall eat. Now the rest of the acts of Baasha, what he did and his might, are they not written in the books of the chronicles of the kings of Israel? Baasha slept with his fathers and was buried in Tirzah. Elah, his son, reigned in his stead. Also, the word of the Lord against Baasha and his house came through the prophet Jehu, son of Hanani, for all the evil that Baasha did in the sight of the Lord in provoking him to anger with the work of his hands, idols, in being like the house of Jeroboam, and also because he destroyed it, the family of Jeroboam, of his own accord. In the 26th year of Asa, king of Judah, Elah, son of Baasha, began his reign of 2 years over Israel in Tirzah. Elah's servant Zimri, captain of half his chariots, conspired against Elah. He was in Tirzah, drinking himself drunk in the house of Arza, who was over the household in Tirzah. Zimri came in and smote and killed him in the 27th year of Asa, king of Judah, and reigned in his stead. When he began to reign, as soon as he sat on his throne, he killed all the household of Baasha. He left not one male of his kinsmen or his friends. Thus Zimri destroyed all the house of Baasha, according to the word of the Lord which he spoke against Baasha through Jehu the prophet. For all the sins of Baasha and of Elah his son, by which they sinned and made Israel sin, in provoking the Lord, the God of Israel, to anger with their idols. The rest of the acts of Elah and all he did, are they not written in the book of the chronicles of the kings of Israel? In the 27th year of Asa, king of Judah, Zimri reigned for 7 days in Tirzah. The troops were encamped against Gibbethon, which belonged to the Philistines, and they heard the rumor Zimri has conspired and slain the king. So all Israel made Omri, the commander of the army, king over Israel that day in the camp. So Omri went up from Gibbethon and all Israel with him, and they besieged Tirzah. And when Zimri saw that the city was taken, he went into the stronghold of the king's house and burned the king's house over him with fire and died. Because of his sins, committed in doing evil in the sight of the Lord, in walking in the way of Jeroboam and his sin in causing Israel to sin. The rest of the acts of Zimri and his deeds of treason, are they not written in the book of the chronicles of the kings of Israel? Then the people of Israel were divided into 2 factions. Half of the people followed Tibni, son of Ginath, to make him king, and half followed Omri. But the people who followed Omri prevailed against those who followed Tibni, son of Ginath. So Tibni died, and Omri reigned. In the 31st year of Asa, king of Judah, Omri began his reign of 12 years over Israel. He reigned 6 years in Tirzah. Omri bought the hill Samaria from Shemer for 2 talents of silver. He built a city on the hill and fortified it and called it Samaria, Shamerun, after the owner of the hill, Shemer. But Omri did evil in the eyes of the Lord, even worse than all who were before him. He walked in all the ways of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, and in his sin, by which he made Israel sin, to provoke the Lord, the God of Israel, to anger with their idols. The rest of the acts of Omri and his might that he showed, are they not written in the books of the chronicles of the kings of Israel? So Omri slept with his fathers and was buried in Samaria. Ahab, his son, reigned in his stead. In the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, Ahab, son of Omri, began his reign of 22 years over Israel in Samaria. And Ahab, son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all before him. As if it had been a light thing for Ahab to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, he took for a wife Jezebel, daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians, and served Baal and worshipped him. He erected an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he built in Samaria. And Ahab made an Asherah, idolatrous symbol of the goddess Asherah. Ahab did more to provoke the Lord, the God of Israel, to anger than all the kings of Israel before him. In his days, Hiel, the Bethelite, built Jericho. He laid its foundations at the cost of the life of Abiram, his firstborn, and set up its gates with the loss of his youngest son, Segub, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke through Joshua, son of Nun. 2 Chronicles chapter 17. Jehoshaphat, his son, reigned in Asa's stead and strengthened himself against Israel. And he placed forces in all the fortified cities of Judah and set garrisons in the land of Judah and in the cities of Ephraim, which Asa his father had taken. The Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the first ways of his father David. He did not seek the Baals, but sought and yearned with all his desire for the Lord, the God of his father, and walked in his commandments, and not after the ways of Israel. Therefore, the Lord established the kingdom in his hand, and all Judah brought tribute to Jehoshaphat, and he had great riches and honor. His heart was cheered, and his courage was high in the ways of the Lord. Moreover, he took away the high places and the Asherim out of Judah. Also, in the 3rd year of his reign, he sent his princes, Ben-Hail, Obadiah, Zechariah, Nethanel, and Micaiah, to teach in the cities of Judah. And with them were the Levites, Shemaiah, Nethaniah, Zebadiah, Asahel, Shemiramoth, Jehonathan, Adonijah, Tobijah, and Tob-Adonijah, and with these Levites were the priests Elishama and Jehoram. And they taught in Judah and had the book of the law of the Lord with them. They went about throughout all the cities of Judah and taught among the people. And a terror from the Lord fell upon all the kingdoms of the lands that were round about Judah, so that they made no war against Jehoshaphat. And some of the Philistines brought Jehoshaphat gifts and tribute silver, and the Arabs brought him flocks, 7,700 each of rams and of he-goats. And Jehoshaphat became very great. He built in Judah fortresses and store cities, and he had many works in the cities of Judah, and soldiers, mighty men of courage, in Jerusalem. This was the number of them by their father's houses: of Judah, the captains of thousands; Adnah, the chief, with 300,000 mighty men of valor. Next to him was Jehohanan, the captain, with 280,000. And next to him, Amasiah, son of Zichri, who willingly offered himself to the Lord with 200,000 mighty men of valor. Of Benjamin, Eliada, a mighty man of valor, with 200,000 men armed with bow and shield. Next to him was Jehozabad, with 180,000 armed for war. These were in the king's service, besides those he had placed in fortified cities throughout all Judah. This is the end of today's scripture reading. In a recent reading, we heard from Proverbs chapter 22, verse 1, this familiar verse: "A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold." And I believe that as we listened to today's reading and heard about the very definite contrast between King Ahab, who was the king of Israel, and King Jehoshaphat, who was the king of Judah, we saw an example of a good name and a bad name. Someone whose reputation was very good in the case of King Jehoshaphat, and someone whose reputation, as far as the Lord is concerned, was very, very bad. In 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 30, we heard these words about King Ahab. It said, "And Ahab, son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all before him." So his reputation in history was that this man exceeded doing evil more than any king that had come before him. Now that is not the reputation or the name that you want to have, that you did more evil than any other leader prior to you. And that was the case with King Ahab. But then when we heard about King Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles chapter 17, we heard something totally different. It said, "The Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the first ways of his father David. He did not seek the Baals, but sought and yearned with all his desire for the Lord, the God of his father, and walked in his commandments and not after the ways of Israel." So we see two very distinct and different reputations of two kings in Israel's history. There was an example that I heard about someone who really valued his name more than riches, and that was regarding a man by the name of General Robert E. Lee. He had been the great general of the Confederate Army during the American Civil War, and he was an amazing leader, and he was the unsuccessful general because he was defeated by the Union forces, but he was really a very excellent leader and a great military strategist. And after the Civil War was over, and Robert E. Lee did not die in that war, but he did survive, and he was reintegrated into American society, as were all the other Confederates, at the end of the war, when peace was made and the Union was put back together, he was approached by the managers of the Louisiana Lottery when they were trying to start up this lottery, and they wanted General Robert E. Lee to allow them to use his name in their lottery scheme. And they promised that if he did that, he would become very rich. Astounded, General Lee straightened up, buttoned his greatcoat, and shouted, "Gentlemen, I lost my home in the war. I lost my fortune in the war. I lost everything except my name. My name is not for sale, and if you fellows don't get out of here, I'll break this crutch over your heads." Well, Robert E. Lee wasn't willing to have his good name, which he still had a good name even at the end of that war, he wasn't going to allow that name to be associated with some gambling scheme. He valued his name. And yet, we see an example of two kings in Israel, one that valued his good name and one that did not. King Ahab did not value his name. He didn't even have any sense of his reputation before the Lord because he completely had no respect or honor for God. In fact, along with the scripture telling us that Ahab did more evil in the sight of the Lord above and beyond everyone who had come before him, it goes on to say that the other thing that really displeased the Lord was the wife that he took. It says in verse 31 of 1 Kings 16, as if it had been a light thing for Ahab to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, he took for a wife Jezebel, daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians, and served Baal and worshipped him. So the Lord held it against him that he married this heathen wife who was the daughter of the king of the Sidonians, and they worshipped Baal, or Baal as many people pronounce it. And this was something that disturbed the Lord tremendously. And as we will hear in the coming days and weeks as we continue through the scripture in this part of Israel's history, that Jezebel had one of the most negative impacts on the nation of Israel of any queen that ever was queen or wife of a king of Israel. And so this team of Ahab and Jezebel were horrific in their negative influence on the nation of Israel and in their influence away from the one true God and in worshiping these false gods, or Baals as they were called. And we have the privilege now of looking back in history and observing the reputation of these two kings, Ahab and Jehoshaphat, and taking note of the reputation that each of them developed and the way that they handled the responsibility of leadership of a nation. At the end of our lives, each one of us will also be assessed on how we handled the sphere of influence that each one of us possessed. Some have larger spheres of influence, like a president has over a nation. Others have much smaller spheres of influence, perhaps just immediate family. But we all have a sphere of influence. And God will assess us as to what we did with that position of influence that we possessed. In the case of these two kings, one used his influence to turn people away from the Lord, and the other used his influence to turn a nation toward the Lord. The story is told about the founder of the Salvation Army, a man by the name of General William Booth, that in the early days of the founding of the Salvation Army, that he and his associates were very bitterly attacked in the press, in the newspapers, by government leaders, religious leaders, all kinds of people, calling them all kinds of names, calling them strange heretics and various things, and criticizing the work that they were doing for the Lord among the poor and among the drunkards and the people that they worked with in England at the time of the founding of the Salvation Army. And during those early days, General William Booth's son would often bring him the newspaper and show him angry attacks that were being written about the work of the Salvation Army. But General William Booth would always reply to his son, 50 years from now, it will matter very little how these people treated us. It will matter a great deal how we dealt with the work of God. William Booth wasn't concerned about his reputation at the moment, but he was concerned about how God would assess how he dealt with the work God had given to him. In the case of King Jehoshaphat, God's assessment of his life was that he did right in the sight of God. But God's assessment of King Ahab's life was that he did more evil than any king that had ever come before him. So those two assessments of reputation, of the names of these two men, certainly speak volumes to us in our lives today. What will be said of you? How was your life in terms of doing the work of God, in terms of speaking for the Lord, in terms of influencing other people towards God or away from God? This is the calling on our lives every single day as believers to demonstrate the love of Christ, to speak for the Lord, to be people who have a life that someone can look at and say, that person truly knows God. That could be said about King Jehoshaphat because he lived his life respecting, honoring the Lord to the point that he made a very wise decision in the early part of his reign when he actually sent out teachers of the Word of God throughout all of Judah. I love that. He did this in the third year of his reign. He sent them out to teach in the cities of Judah the word of the Lord. They went throughout all the cities of Judah, the scripture said, and taught among the people. So he made it a priority in his life to be a sender of the word of God throughout the kingdom that he had reign over. Whatever area of life you have reign over, whatever area of influence that you have, be one that is a sender of the Word of God, a demonstrator of the Word of God, one that people can see God in your life and your influence, that your name is associated with God Himself, that your reputation is one of this person really knows the Lord, this one always sharing God, this one's demonstrating the reality of God in their life. That's the call of God for you and for me. That we be people like King Jehoshaphat who honor, respect the Lord in our own lives and encourage others to do the same. Jehoshaphat walked with the Lord. He sought and yearned with all his desire for the Lord, the scripture says. Let that be said about you. Let that be the reputation that you have in the earth when you leave this earth. When people speak about you, that you are one who yearned after God with all of your heart. God bless you and give you a victorious week.